Welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast, featuring advice and interviews about athlete branding. Learn how marketing, public relations, and broadcasting can grow your brand. We also have special episodes to talk about recent news, events, and anything in the world of sports. The podcast is sponsored by Pliable, a versatile marketing, PR, and broadcasting company that identifies opportunities and creates tailored content for its clients. Now it's time to roll. Here's your host, Greg Glenn.
Thanks, and welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. Greg Glenn here, where we're always ready to roll. In this episode, we're going to be talking about triathlon in a different way than you probably think. So today, I'm really excited that we are joined by Steve Lovelace, a para-triathlon pioneer. Steve is from Oklahoma and joining us. Steve, want to welcome you into the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast.
Hey, Greg. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and share my story with your guests. And hopefully we can inspire one or two people out of this.
And I always ask athletes their athlete story. And I'd really be curious to hear you articulate yours.
Well, before my accident, which is kind of the crux that changed my life by 180 degrees back in 1982, I did all kinds of sports, baseball, basketball, golf, track. But in 82, I just finished my first year of college at the University of Oklahoma. I moved back to the family farm to help my grandmother, was cutting firewood for a little bit of extra money. And a day on November 30th, 1982, a tree that we were cutting on split in half. It was a massive tree. The two halves slammed together on me, pinned me to the ground. And the results of my injuries were my face was basically split straight down the middle. My forehead, my mandible, my hard palate were all split open. My heart was bruised. My left wrist was crushed. But the biggest revelation was that I had three crushed vertebrae, L3 through 5, that had paralyzed me. When I made it to the hospital, they told me that I would never walk again. But as a 20-year-old would say, I'm walking out of the hospital, which 3.5 months later, after a lot of healing, several surgeries, I managed to take 4 steps out of the hospital because what we had discovered was the swelling around my spinal cord was so intense that it caused the paralysis. But I was left with spinal cord injury. In my left foot, I had foot drop and I had excruciating sciatic pain. But my sports story started after my accident in 1985. I was watching the Hawaiian Ironman Championship and I saw Julie Moss crawling across the finish line, and I could so relate to everything that she was going to, because every day was a finish line for me. Every day was a challenge with everything that I was doing, because when I got out of the hospital, I could barely shuffle across the floor. This was 3 years later, but I decided that I was going to do a triathlon. So 7 months later, I towed the line in Lake Ponca and I finished my first triathlon in 1986. What I came to find out 35 years later is that I was the second ever disabled athlete to have completed a triathlon, and the first with a spinal cord injury, making me a pioneer of the sport of paratriathlon, which, as we all know now, is a Paralympic sport. So, you know, I had an impact on the sport, and I'm just now finding out, just now telling my story.
Wow, that's a remarkable story. And it's certainly one that I think is going to resonate with a lot of people. You know, obviously people deal with injury quite a bit when you're an athlete. And I think that the mental mindset around what you described as to, I'm going to walk out of this hospital, is a really motivating piece, I'm sure, for you as you tried to come back and tell your comeback story. Talk to me about, you know, growing up, did you have a favorite athlete and why?
I had two, and both of them played a prevalent role in my triathlon history. One was Steve Prefontaine, who was an Olympic runner from Oregon. I identified with Steve a lot because his ability to endure pain just became kind of my mantra after my accident. I just knew that I could take anything and everything. If this guy could do it, I could do it. And the second was Mark Spitz, a swimmer from the 76 Olympics, I believe it was. You know, he had the iconic American Speedo going on. I had that same Speedo in junior high. when he was inspiring me to swim. And so I drew on both those guys when I was doing my triathlon, and it really, really helped me get through a lot of the pain and struggle that I went through just to toe the line.
Now, describe to me, it's interesting, the fact that you had the spinal cord injury. As I tell athletes when I meet with them, that I have also screws in my back in the L5-S1 area. I want to kind of hear from you, what type of motivation, or where are you drawing your motivation from? Where did this come from? Did it come from your parents? I feel like there's this intangible factor for people like yourself that get this motivation, obviously, in addition to the athletes you mentioned, you were a highly motivated athlete, I'm sure, before this.
Yeah. I mean, you can't stop the heart of a competitor. It's always going to be beating to compete. And I was that guy early on. I grew up without a dad, so my mom raised me and gave me all my core values. We grew up relatively poor. We struggled to put food on the table. I had to live with my grandparents at certain points in my life because my mom just could not afford to raise the two kids that she had. But she always brought us back into the house, and we always had a lot of love and caring. But I think it was that struggle that gave me the ability to know that I could do one more, or I could go 1 minute longer, or I could go an inch higher. I just always pushed myself, because when you don't have food, you got no choice but just to get through to the next meal. And so the struggle just became my life. And when I had my accident, I just knew that I was going to walk and that I was going to do sport again, because I had always identified with sport just 100% when I was a kid. It was one way to get recognized. It was also a way just to grow and excel and be around guys that were of like ability and like interest.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I also liked what you said earlier about, every day was a finish line. And I think about how you're kind of describing your history and growing up, it seems like every day was a struggle and a finish line. And I think that that's something, you're right, that probably did have an impact on you as to why you're so highly motivated. So,
yeah. And still to this day, I mean, I still push myself every day. I put a new finish line out there. I just turned 60, which a lot of people would be reluctant to admit, that I'm just glad I've survived this long. And I still compete in triathlon. I still compete in bike races. I'm not winning as much as I used to, but I sure am having a great time being out there with all the other competitors.
As people want to follow your story, how can they watch, or how can they see some footage of you and kind of see what you're all about?
So I guess my Instagram is probably going to be the best place to go. It's SP Lovelace, Stephen Paul Lovelace, SP Lovelace. And I post most of my story on there. I'm starting to get a little bit better with that. I think my Twitter is SP_Lovelace. I do a little bit with that as well, but mostly it's Instagram. And from there, they can latch into my YouTube channel, which will take them to my accident. There's a short video that I put together that has a few pictures on there. There's only two pictures that exist of me actually doing a triathlon, and those are on there. So those are, with respect to the history, they're relatively iconic for me personally because of my part in the history of triathlon.
Wow, that's remarkable. And then, we talk with athletes all the time about, growing their brand, right? So it's one thing to have a brand story, and a lot of athletes don't even realize how powerful theirs is. And they don't maybe sometimes even realize that the stuff they've been through is remarkable. And the fact that you identified it, obviously, with your history, you then have built your athlete brand. Talk to me about some of the ways. I mean, it's awesome to see someone like yourself being active on Instagram and Twitter and YouTube and having your own channel. Where did you come up with this idea to try and market yourself or promote what you're doing so that you could then inspire others?
Well, I only found out that I had my place in history 35 years after it actually happened. And it was such a revelation because I had been writing a book that was basically going to go to my kids. I had told my story to a few people, close friends and family through the years, but I never really saw it as that big of an achievement until now. And so I'm just now getting it out there. I'm in the process of completing my book about my story. And really, it all kind of came out to, there's a local magazine here in Edmond. And I sent my story to the guy. He saw an interest. that interest sparked my first podcast. And since then, I've done about 16. You know, I reach out to the podcast directly and I share bits of my story and a couple of links, one to triathlete.com where they did an article on me. And, you know, hopefully it sparks an interest in some people like you, and, you know, they're ready to tell my story, and hopefully we can inspire people with it.
Absolutely. Sounds like it. And I want to talk a little bit about the next big thing you're working on or you're thinking about, because I know in addition to every day being a finish line, there's got to be a place where you got to put that finish line, right?
Right. Well, I mean, in addition to the book, I'm actually moving into motivational speaking, trying to tell my story, because I do understand now that it is impactful. There's not one person that I've shared it with that hasn't said that it's relatively remarkable and motivational to them personally. You know, and I'm promoting triathlon. I'm now an ambassador for the USA Triathlon Foundation, promoting the sport that I helped start back in 1986, and hopefully going to get a lot more people to get involved and inspire some Paralympic and Olympic athletes.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. As you look at your career and what you're doing, by the way, I want to also help you promote the book. What is the kind of background for the book? Obviously your story, but talk to me about what else might be in this book.
Oh man.
You have a title yet?
I do. It's called The Last Place Winner, because the first triathlon that I did, I came in last place, but even coming in last place, you can make history. So, you know, it just kind of all came together with that. But, you know, the book encompasses my life basically from inception when my dad left, and goes through the abusive years that I had with him when he came back into the family. He was not a real nice guy. He left finally when I was about 8 years old, and that was probably for the best, because it, one, it hardened me, but two, it made me into this strong individual. But then it encompasses my struggles in school and then doing my triathlon. And honestly, right after that triathlon, my life changed forever. My grades improved. My work ethic improved. I had self-confidence. I mean, it just built so much inside of me that I just felt the world was mine to conquer. And it covers after my accident. And even up till now, I've had struggles health-wise. I've had a couple of heart attacks. I've had a spine fluid leak. I've had bacterial meningitis. I've had concussions that I can't even count. But I still see that as every time something bad happens and it's a setback, I look for 5 steps forward that I can move into and cross another finish line and set another goal for myself that I can hopefully use to inspire others never to quit, never to give up. Believe in yourself, believe in your goal, and keep setting them.
When will the book come out? I think people are going to be eager to get their hands on it.
I'm hoping sometime next year. I'm in the final phases. I've got 4 journals that I'm now transcribing and kind of putting it all together. It's like a puzzle piece. I've kept notes over the years as thoughts would come out, and I'm putting all those together, and I'm probably going to end up self-publishing and doing it on Amazon, where it will be, you know, shipped to order. But maybe by next November, December, I'm hoping to have everything finalized in print and be able to put signatures in the book to those that care to have it.
No, that's great. That's an awesome idea, because that's another tool, as I like to call it, for athletes, especially at the level at which, you know, can write a book or are even interested in publicizing themselves. A book is an extremely powerful tool to be able to do that. So I'm excited to hear that you've gone down that route as well. What are some other things that you've done to kind of grow your brand as you, you know, continue to be active on social media, but, you know, what other things are you looking to try and do?
You know, I continue to self-promote, and it's really out of my comfort zone for the last 36 years after my triathlon that I completed. I've never been one to really push myself out there. So this is a little bit outside my zone of what I would normally do, but I'm reaching out to my university. In fact, I've got a coming out within the next few days, University of Oklahoma and Sooner Magazine, which is the alumni publication. They're highlighting my story as an alumni. So that's going to be huge for me personally to have my alma mater recognize me, because that's where I was when all this took place. And so, you know, I continue to reach out to podcasts, and I'm probably going to be starting my own podcast to get other stories for people to come in the back of the pack, because there's a lot of great stories in the front first, second, third place. We all know how those guys got there, but it's the people in the back that have the great stories that we never hear of that can really motivate just the average Joe, much like myself, to get out there and just push themselves. You don't have to be a fit athlete with a body like David. You can get out there as a Clydesdale, and you can get out there with no muscle and some muscle, but just get out there. That's the whole point.
I'm so glad you bring that up about the first, second, and third place, because when I was with Colin Cook, who is a triathlete, and he was out in Park City, Utah, he had the opportunity to, he does very well. There's no doubt about that. But he told me about the tradition of going to the finish line at the end of the race, when everyone goes back to celebrate that person that comes across last, because there's always a story there. And I think you're so right, is that every athlete has a story, and sometimes it's not the ones that come in first place that really have the greatest story.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I came in last place, but you know, here we are 35 years later, my story still has shelf life and it's motivating people. And so I want to get to those people and find those deep stories. I mean, there may be deep-seated issues that they had early on that motivated them to go out and do a 10K. And you know what? It could be the first one they ever did. It could be the last one they ever did. But that's an achievement that no one can take away from them.
When it comes to motivational speaking, that's another, obviously, opportunity for athletes. Talk to me about some of the opportunities you've had with that, or what you're looking to do with that specifically. I mean, I could see you speaking at colleges across the country.
You know, I would love to be a college campus speaker, because I think my story would self-identify with them, because I was 20 years old when it happened.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it could have derailed my college career, but instead, when I went back, my first semester, I made a 1 point, second, I made a 2. After that, I was on the president's honor roll for the remainder of my college career. So thus far, I've not had any opportunities, but I'm approaching the University of Oklahoma. Once my article comes out, there's a lectureship under my professor's name from the College of Allied Health that I would love to be able to go in and speak to the people in the x-ray department, which is where I studied as a student, and tell them, you know, my story. And just, it's all about never giving up and always pushing forward, regardless of the pain, regardless of the heartache, and regardless of the struggles in front of you.
What kind of advice would you have for athletes today, let's say, that are in their 20s, you know, that are, you know, doing the grind? Athletes are so different now. I think the training is different. The mental side of the game, or, you know, is different. There's a lot of pressure, you know, on these athletes. And I'm wondering, for you, what athlete advice would you have to a 20-year-old something now as you look back?
I would say, with, because times are so different from when I was 20, there was no social media. And I think that's kind of, it's a blessing and it's a curse at the same time, right? So if you read your own press and you buy into it, whether it's positive or negative, that can influence you regardless. I didn't have any of that. I didn't tell anybody I was doing the triathlon because I did not want the negativity. I did not want to be derailed from my goal. So I did it all on my own. So I would say, kind of go into yourself, stay within your own team, your family, your close friends, the people that support you regardless of whether or not you're having a bad day. But just don't live by social media. Post your stuff, but don't buy into all the comments, because you're going to have the naysayers.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I want to also make sure people can get in touch with you so they can contact you about your book, obviously your social media as well. What's the best way for someone to get in touch with you, Steve?
Either through Instagram, which again, SP Lovelace, or they can use my Gmail, which is livetogolf, and it's LIV, the number 2, GLF @gmail.com. And there's a story behind that.
I want to hear. This is a great place to tell it, Steve. Go ahead.
Yeah. And you know, with my back problems that I had coming out of the hospital, I always knew that twist and rotation was going to be a big issue. I didn't ever want to stiffen up. So I grabbed a golf club early on, started swinging, kept swinging. I've not played in a while because my balance issues are increasing due to a rare disease that I have called arachnoiditis. It's slowly taking my legs away from me, but I still love the game. And I still get out there and swing the golf club, and I still have that mobility. I mean, I say the key to growing old is being stretching and being flexible, honestly.
Yeah, that's what we call being pliable here at Pliable. So we totally understand that. And this has been a great conversation, Steve. I'm hoping that people will continue to follow you, because you've got an unbelievable story to tell. You blazed your own trail. You created history and didn't know it, and then finally found out about it. And I think you've got some inspiration to be able to share with today's athletes. As you said, you know, social media wasn't around then. And I think that they'll learn a lot from this episode. So,
Greg, that truly means a lot. I really appreciate the opportunity, and, you know, hopefully will resonate with your listeners.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate it. And we will talk with you soon. Again, you can find all the information on this podcast episode and more podcast episode from Pliable at PliableMarketing.com.
Thanks for listening to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes from today's episode and catch up on recent episodes at PliableMarketing.com. We also encourage you to share topics and guest ideas by emailing our production staff at PliableMarketing@gmail.com. We love hearing from our loyal listeners and athletes who want to grow their brand. So jump in and be part of the podcast, because that's how we roll.